Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Many of you are very familiar with our Money Wise program. That's every day at 11:30 here on KNKT. And today we have Brian Cochran. He's with John Moore Associates, and John Moore underwrites that program for us. Brian, thanks for that. And we wanted to get you in today because we've got some crazy stuff going on in the stock market, 12% drop in this week since Monday. And it seems like it's all kind of centered around the coronavirus.
Yeah, definitely. And we have a saying in the industry that the stock market takes the stairs up and the elevator down. And I think in this case, it took the elevator shaft down and forgot to get on the elevator. It's been a really rapid drop. It's not unprecedented. That's one thing to get out there. I think that's important. A lot of people look at the points. So they look at 1,000 points a day. We usually think of it in percentages. Mm-hmm. So we have seen this type of drop in this type of time period by percentage, though the points are, the scale is larger now that the market's grown over the years. And so we like to say in situations like this, the cause is always different, but the reaction and the principles are always the same.
Mm. Well, and you've advised us in past interviews that we shouldn't base our investment decisions upon the political position of the day. Mm-hmm. So do you kind of look at it the same way?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely real factors at play here. There's concern that the virus will impact the U.S. economy, the global economy already has. Mm-hmm. We don't know exactly what the extent of that will be, and that's where the uncertainty comes in. But the key thing is, from an investor's perspective, to not let fear drive your decision making. So no matter what the cause of that fear might be, you know, whether it's politics or the coronavirus or whatever the cause of the day is for market volatility, you need to step back, get the emotions out of it, and make decisions based on your personal needs, what you're trying to accomplish, and stay away from the fear side of the decision-making process.
Brian Cochran in studio with me, and let's tell you a little bit about Brian. Brian's a certified financial planner. Why is my mouth not working today? I better say that again. He's a certified financial planner with John Moore and Associates. Brian collaborates with tax advisors, attorneys, insurance professionals to help meet the financial objectives of the families he serves. He's received some really neat awards. Forbes named him the number one advisor in New Mexico in 2018, number one millennial advisor in New Mexico, and number three overall in their 2017 rankings. He serves on a couple of boards, the New Mexico Christian Foundation, and he's chairman of the board of the True North Financial Ministries. So you're living stuff.
Yep, every day.
And raising two little boys and your wife, Emily. What a neat family. So, Brian, in the midst of all this, when these kind of things are happening, you said off air as we were walking in, you have a little downturn in the market, and that kind of affects everybody. So how does John Moore Associates coach people through this?
Yeah, so a lot of the coaching happens beforehand, mm-hmm. and that's something to keep in mind. It's how we educate our clients. You know, we meet most of our clients twice a year, so we're having conversations before the risk shows up. Mm-hmm. And we're also preparing their investments for what might be to come. So, for example, we've been talking a lot over the last 6 months with our clients who might be in retirement about how much risk is in their portfolio, not because we knew this was going to happen. We don't have a crystal ball, and this came out of nowhere for most of us. So, but if they had, if they're in retirement, they have income needs over the next couple years, we've been positioning safe money aside that they can live on in case something like this could happen. Mm-hmm. This is always a possibility. So it's more about preparation, and then when you're in it, it's more about staying the course and just coaching clients about what the wise decision is when markets is down, which is to either be a buyer or holder and try not to sell out of panic or fear.
Well, I feel like we have a lot of retired people listening to the program, mm-hmm. but we also have a lot of young people that may be just starting out in this process, and you've given us some great budget guidelines in past mm-hmm. interviews, and you've talked to us as we hear Rob West talking about on MoneyWise, you need to have a reserve fund, and he's really pointed that to younger people to make sure that they have several months of reserves. I want to ask you to just take us back. We have so many different diverse age groups, so many different positions in terms of where you are in life and what you've saved and what you may not have saved. Take us back to the fundamentals of a long-term financial plan. I know you can't speak to everybody, but just the basics.
Yeah, there's some principles. The first thing is to be long-term and goal-oriented. So thinking not just about what I need today and what I want today, but thinking about where do I want to be? What's my vision 3 years, 5 years, 10 years out. And we typically make better decisions when we stretch out our time horizon. Mm. And it makes me a better advisor when a client walks in and they know what they want for the future. We need to pull that out of a lot of families and understand that. So that's the first thing. So, for example, right now the market's down. It would feel good to sell your investments and just feel safe, but is that the best thing long term for your portfolio? The more markets go down, actually, the higher your forward looking return becomes.
Mm.
So for the long term, the better thing is to be a buyer or a holder, because the return only gets better for the future as the market goes down today. So that long term vision is a huge place to start.
Well, for example, I know in the news this morning, I saw a report about there's not enough of these medical masks mm-hmm. in the United States for the hospitals or for general public to sure. wear if they wanted to. Plus, I've read all kinds of data about how they really don't help you keep from getting sick. They may help somebody not infect everybody else if they are sick.
Sure.
But I noticed that only one company they mentioned is making these masks in the United States, and that's 3M. Should we all run out and buy that stock?
And what you can see is actually if you can find those stocks that have that are associated with, you know, medicine and some of these products, they've already run up pretty quickly. And so what you'll see in a period like this is those stocks can quickly potentially turn into a bit of a bubble mm-hmm. and you might buy them at a high while the rest of the market, you know, good solid companies might be very low. So you see a lot of sell off right now in energy companies and transportation companies and cruise lines, airlines, things like that, that are getting impacted by the lack of maybe transportation and things that are happening there. So those eventually will become too cheap in mm-hmm. most cases. And the other things that everyone's looking at the same time will become too expensive. And you start to see excess. And that's one of the principles we teach on investing is avoid the crowds at extremes. So, you know, so whether it's an extreme high or an extreme low, you want to avoid those crowds because that's where a lot of bad decision making happens and you end up with excess, either overselling or overbuying. And you don't want to be part of that.
If you'd like to go to johnmoore.com, J-O-H-N-M-O-O-R-E, you can find out a lot of information for free just by going to the website, some of the principles that the company stands on. And we're going to be back with more with Brian to talk about John Moore Associates and how they structure things and how their team works together to help you in all kinds of different ways. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Budgay. Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof. Gone. Legislators, along with American Express, suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local. Follow local media. And finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Well, thank you for staying with us after that little awkward computer break there. This is Jim in studio with Brian Cochran, John Moore Associates, and Brian's been a certified financial planner in New Mexico since when?
I've been in the industry since 2006, earned the certified financial planner designation in 2010.
Nice. Talk to us a little bit about people right now. They've got this, they're all tightened up. They're all tense. They're seeing these massive drops and they're ready to just sell. What do you say to them, Brian?
Well, we talk a lot about that because that's, you know, the way this works in our minds is that we feel pain. There's actually stress and pain we feel when we see our investments going down. So we want to stop that pain. It's human nature. We want it to stop. So what's the easiest way? I'm just going to step out of the market. And what we usually hear people say is, I'll step out now and I will get back in when things look a little better. Mm-hmm. And on the surface, what's wrong with that, right? Mm-hmm. I only want to invest when things look good, right? Mm-hmm. The problem is the selling decision is really two decisions. When do I get out? Am I going to get out, right? And then I have to get back in at some point. For most people, they want to reinvest, and that's the harder decision. Getting out's easy because it stops the pain. I feel better. I don't have to stress about it now because my money's in cash. It's not going up and down, and I feel relief. But getting back in is the hard part. And here's the key aspect of this for those of you who are considering making big changes. You only add value if you buy back in lower. Mm. If you sell now and buy back after things are better, will the market be higher or lower when things are better? And what do you think? It's going to be higher.
Higher, yeah.
And the market prices in good news pretty quickly, and you'll lose the opportunity. So the only way to really have this make sense is to be scared now and sell, and then buy back when you're more scared. And I don't see people do that very often. I've been doing this for a long time, served hundreds of families. I've never seen someone say, I'm scared, I'm going to get out, and then call me back a month later and say, you know what, I'm even more scared because it's worse and stocks are lower. Let me back in now that it's worse than it was before. So what we tell people is the best thing you can do if you're already invested, hopefully you're in a well-diversified, appropriately managed portfolio, it's to don't miss the recovery. Just do not miss the recovery because it will happen eventually. Historically, it's always happened, and we have to rely on that history. And whether it's when I went through 2008 and 2009 with clients, or 2011 or 2018 when the markets dropped 20%, don't miss the recovery. And that's what most often happens.
Well, I've really enjoyed watching what the markets have been doing since we kind of got in this trade war with China and everybody mm-hmm. was really paranoid. The general public was talking about, oh my gosh, everything's going to be terrible, but the stock market has remained strong mm-hmm. throughout. In fact, some of us are saying, let's get a little tougher on them. Let's try to get more of this manufacturing back in the United States and all these kind of other things. So the world economy is a difficult thing because nobody really knows what that is going to eventually look like, but it's been transitioning for a number of years.
Yeah, there's been a lot of change. And I think what we're seeing now is maybe one of the negative, you know, downside side effects, because part of why the market is down is in the global economy, we share goods across borders so much more now than we used to. And there's a lot of supply chain issues that are coming up because China has been so restricted. They have shut down factories. They've shut down manufacturing and all different facets of their economy. So we're now on pause waiting for products to come here. So even if our economy is still firing and people are still buying, which they are, our economy is very strong right now. You know, how do we get the stuff, you know, behind the scenes so that we can put together those iPhones, so we can put together those airplanes and cars? And when the global supply chain gets interrupted, you know, we're seeing the negative side effect of that. Now, some companies like Apple came out today and said they're very confident they're going to bounce back quickly and that they're working hard to resolve their supply chain issues. Their stock went positive for a little bit today on that news. So, again, the market will sometimes overreact to these factors and then quickly bounce back once the smoke clears and people go, okay, maybe we're all right after all.
Brian, this is totally off script, but as you're talking, I'm thinking, okay, would a company like Apple say, boy, we didn't realize that a whole country could be shut down. So maybe what we ought to be doing is manufacturing offshore in two different places. So that can't happen. Will companies make those kinds of adjustments?
Well, a lot of companies do. Like locally, you know, Intel has manufacturing all over the world. They have mm-hmm. Japan and Ireland. They're really spread out. So there's a risk management aspect where a lot of that's happening. The problem is that there's some things like there's certain metals that are most commonly found in China. So there's some things behind the scenes that there's a good reason why we get it from just China.
Yeah, natural resources mm-hmm. kind of determine yep. a lot of that.
So there's a lot of factors there. And then there's the consumer side. You know, yesterday Starbucks came out and said 85% of their Chinese stores are still open. That's great. But how many people are actually visiting those stores? We're not sure. So, you know, if they're shut down, if they're not as active, if they're not out shopping, you know, what's the ripple effects? And again, that's global economy. Starbucks, very much a local company. I've been to their first store in Seattle. It's a wonderful brand. But once they start selling overseas, you add a little extra risk and extra opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. But there's trade-offs we're starting to see today.
I was talking with a couple of people that work in hospitals, doctors, particularly orthopedic surgeons, and they told me that they really are having a shortage of all kinds of medical supplies mm-hmm. that come from China because of everything that's happened. So that could bode well for some American companies that can gear up and mm-hmm. like 3M that we mentioned earlier. I heard that they're working 24 hours a day just to produce masks and yep. they're shipping them. And I understand they're giving priority to people in the United States and then trying to, you know, provide world needs as well.
So exactly.
That's a big
now, again, there could
task.
Be overreaction there. I remember when SARS happened
yes.
and everybody wanted a mask and people were stocking up on them and selling them on eBay for a premium. And then they got stuck with them. There was actually a Saturday Night Live skit mm-hmm. where the actor, I think it's Peter Skarsgård, was selling this Peter Skarsgård SARSGård, mm-hmm. and he ended up stuck with a bunch of them because that cleared up and it turned out to not be such a great concern. But so again, you'll find excesses here eventually. And these extremes you see when you see such a big market move, something's going to shake out and in hindsight become an excess where it's too far down. Things are, you know, some of those medical companies may go too high and the overall market may go too low. It's going to be interesting to see and, you know, to look back on this a year from now and see. The one thing that always drives us crazy in the office when we're working day to day on this is we're trying to communicate with clients, but the media always seems to be working against us. So they're stoking fear by making the drop seem worse than they are by quoting Dow points rather than percentages or talking about this as if it's an unprecedented. We've never seen markets down this much when we certainly have more than 25 times the market's been down mm-hmm. this much or more in this type of a period. So trying to make it sound like it's some new thing that we should all be scared of versus just trying to teach good principles as we do with our clients day to day.
Brian, you've given us a stat, and I don't want to misstate it, so I'll ask you to clarify. But I think the statement was that you take any given 30-year period mm-hmm. out of the last 100, there's never a time that the stock market's been down during that 30-year
yeah.
period.
Yeah, we call it rolling 20-year periods, actually, where
okay,
if you go back – and that's, you know, when people compare the stock market to a casino, that's the stat we often use. The longer you stay in the casino, the more likely you are to lose everything. Whereas the longer you stay in the market, the less likely you are to have a loss. Mm. So again, the more you stretch out that horizon, and we acknowledge that not every investor has a 20-year horizon. You know, if you're investing and you're in your late 70s and you have some stocks, you might not be thinking about a 20-year horizon. But many investors do, and really we look at a 5 to 7, maybe 10-year horizon for someone to be a stock investor, really to put up with a sort of short-term uncertainty.
Well, we're going to be back with Brian Cochran. He is with John Moore & Associates, a certified financial planner, frequent guest here on the show, and we appreciate his time very much. If you'd like to give Brian a call and ask any questions, feel free to do that at 505-338-5790. We'll be here in studio all the way up until 2 o'clock. We'll be back with more from Brian right after these messages.
KNKT is locally broadcast from our tower site west of Albuquerque. In 2020, we will be working with a local cell phone company to upgrade our facilities. This will require KNKT being off the air overnights for a number of days while the work progresses. We will be announcing the times and days, but if you cannot find KNKT overnights, be sure we'll be back on the air bright and early the next morning with more excellent Bible teaching.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. Has God shown you that there are things in your life that need to be changed and fixed? Generally speaking, we all have these things in our lives in one shape or another. The difference is if we take care of them right away or not. In the automotive repair world, I've seen this over and over. Catastrophic failures due to people not fixing small issues with their vehicle right away. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we take care of all your vehicle's repair and maintenance needs. We are ASC Master Certified and AAA approved. We are located in Rio Rancho on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And we have free towing to our facility for repairs. Just ask for details. And with those things God is showing you that you need to change and fix, please don't put it off and let these small issues in your life become catastrophic failures. Jesus stands beside you ready to fix all that is broken in you if you will just simply ask him to do so. And he's already paid the price for the repair.
Whether or not you know which unique skills and abilities God has given you, you can be certain that God has given you everything you need to accomplish His plan for your life. Campfire Girls, Gifts of the Spirit is a free citywide Bible study that begins Tuesday, March 5th at Calvary Church Westside. After the teaching each week, you'll be encouraged while learning something new at a small group session. Join Sheology and find out what the Holy Spirit wants to do through you as you step out in obedience. Details online at calvarynm.church. Registration not required.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We had a very special night last night with the Renew gathering at Sagebrush Church, an amazing time with Josh White and Chris Kilala. They had a led worship and had a beautiful teaching, and it was a lot of different churches coming together, so we really appreciate everybody coming out. I want to remind you that Compassion Live is coming to town with the Roadshow 2020 tour. It's going to be March 21st, 6 o'clock p.m. here on in Tingley Coliseum. And Tingley's, we have tickets available at CompassionLive.com. So don't forget about the Roadshow, Bethel Music, Matt Maher, Martin Smith, Unspoken, Apollo Limited, Ellie Limebear, and Peabod. So a little bit of different variety of music for everybody's taste. So we hope you'll come out to the Roadshow Tour 2020, March 21st at Tingley Coliseum. Brian Cochran, John Moore, and Associates in studio. And Brian, before we go on talking about all this money, and a lot of us are stressed out about that, and you're having to deal with that too, so we have to talk about something fun, man. And that's March Madness. What do we got a week before we start playing all these college basketball
around
games?
Around the corner.
And I can't help, former Lobo, although I spent most of my career sitting next to the coach, still my favorite team. Little disappointed in the season they've had. They just lost to Air Force, 264 on the RPI ratings. New Mexico's about 155, but no shot really at getting in the tournament. Now, I shouldn't say that because we play a tournament, a conference tournament. And you can always win that. There's always something that could happen miraculous there.
A long shot, but it's a shot.
Yeah, had a really good time watching Steve Alford and his Nevada Wolfpack coming in to play the Lobos here a week or so ago. Steve Alford's an interesting guy to me because he's obviously a great coach, a lot of success, but he is also a former NCAA Most Valuable Player and a national champion. And when the crowd started booing, it just brought a smile to his face because it was like, thank you for not letting me down. That's exactly what I expected, and we're going to have some fun tonight. Yeah. And it was a good game. It really was. And it was a lot of fun just to see that. Now, I will say the countenance of Craig Neal, I think Craig Neal is a little different than Steve Alford. He took it a little more personally. Yeah. I could see that he was hurt maybe a little bit by it. And he shouldn't be because he's a great coach as well. He and Steve Alford make a great team, and it's going to be tough. Dr. Paul Weir's going to have his work cut out for us. Tell us who your NCAA teams are.
It's been fun following the Lobos, especially with my kids. We go to games. We went to the UNLV game this year. It's the only one we made because they had their own basketball to play. And that was a tough one.
Are you done with your leagues with the kids now?
We just finished up last weekend, so we're doing maybe some spring ball here. But, so that was a great game. So we love supporting the local team, being there for the Lobos. And it has been hard. I've seen Coach Weir speak a few times. I really like his character. I like his kind of his vision for the team and how it should represent New Mexico. I think he has a great work ethic, to himself that hopefully he can get into his players. It's just too bad the cards he was dealt this year with some of the off-court issues that he couldn't control. But, I grew up in the Northwest, so we watched, UW, the Huskies a lot. Yeah. They have some great players, over the years that have come out of that school.
Sure.
Some that are in the NBA now that, they've always been competitive. The Northwest is a big.
Well, how about the Zags? Do you follow the Zags at all? Because they're about as far northwest as you can get.
Yeah, my older son loves the Zags. We've been following them all along. They're just kind of a great story because it's a smaller school that's just been consistently good, great character. I feel like the kids they put out have always been high quality, and some of them some great NBA players. I'm a big Portland Trailblazers fan, as we've discussed in the past, and we were really excited when they picked up Zach Collins from Gonzaga, and he's just been a great addition to the Blazers, unfortunately, with some injuries right now. So, but yeah, we keep some of those Northwest roots and follow the Zags and the Huskies, and it's just fun to watch. that elite level college basketball is some of the best sport, I think, in the country.
And unusually this year, we have one Mountain West team, the San Diego State Aztecs. They are ranked in the AP top 25. They're number 5. In the RPI, they're 11, I believe, but they're 27-1. They actually have the best record in the country. Unfortunately, they lost to UNLV, I believe, last week. Or did they lose to Nevada? One of the two. Somehow they lost to somebody in Nevada. And they are a really excellent team, and I think they're going to have a shot to go to the Final Four. I really do. I think they have that kind of skill. They're great shooters. They play great defense. And we got to hope for the sake of the Mountain West that they get in there and do a good job. A little disappointed with the rest of the conference, but we've already mentioned Dr. Weir. He's got some good players coming in. And I know this, and I'm going to shift gears a little bit to women's basketball. I know the Lobo women didn't have the year they expected, but they've got a lot of young players, so I'm looking for them to turn it around as well. So,
yeah, hopefully better times ahead for the men and the women.
Yeah.
It's such a good thing for this community when Lobo basketball is going well.
Yeah.
You know, everyone rallies around them. I've had a few games where I've been there and in the pit, and it's just kind of disappointing that they don't have the full support of the community. And I know there's some diehard people out there, maybe some listeners right now. They're like, "Hey, I'm there every
game,
no matter what." And I love that. But a little success could go a long way to get this town back behind them again.
Hey, in our next segment, we're gonna get back to talking about the markets and how to make investments and biblical principles. But I got to say one last thing about Lobo Athletics. Two last things. So our women's cross country team, they were the defending national champions, ended up finishing third again this year. Amazing things that the track and the cross country program is doing in New Mexico. And I need to mention that our former head football coach at the University of Mexico, Rocky Long, former head coach at San Diego State, is coming back to support one of his former players, Danny Gonzalez, who was named the head coach at New Mexico. And I have to tell you, that's a very intriguing story to me. I am so fired up. I'm going to buy season tickets as soon as possible, and I'm excited for Lobo football, and I haven't been that excited about it for a long time.
Yep. You're not alone.
So we'll be back more with Brian Cochran, John Moore and Associates to talk about investing in this kind of volatile time with coronavirus and volatility and politics. And we're going to start with some biblical principles and things of investing. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, did you know that some 48 million Americans suffer from some type of hearing loss? At Sound Choice Hearing, we have over 25 years of experience in hearing aid fitting. At Sound Choice, we offer free hearing evaluations, and we allow you to try the latest hearing technology absolutely free with no obligation. With the technology we offer today, we can treat any type of hearing loss, and we can help you hear better even on your cell phone. So call Sound Choice Hearing for a free hearing test and consultation at 341-1300. That's 341-1300.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. Have you ever wondered why people dread buying a new car? Maybe it's because of the way they were treated in the past. Maybe they were disrespected, or maybe they were even lied to. Well, none of us can change the past, but at Power Ford, we can help you write the future. We're a different type of dealership, so you have a different type of experience. We believe in doing the right thing, building trust, and leading with our values. Faith, family, and then Ford. We're here to help. Just ask. Find your ride at mypowerford.com.
Fulfilling the Great Commission can be a grand adventure. Cody and Chantel Byrne traded a comfortable life in Albuquerque to begin a church plant in Perth, on the Gold Coast of Australia, where Cody was born.
It came down to, despite all the signs and the answered prayers, we just had this insanely overwhelming peace to just sell everything we own, to sell a house, our cars, our belongings, and just pack up. And, you know, we brought 6 green duffel bags from Albuquerque all the way to Perth, Australia. We've got 2 small kids, and so that was a journey in of itself, but really just having this call, having this peace, the confirmation, and just taking a giant step of faith, trusting the Lord in every step.
At KNKT and Star 88, our great mission campaign for 2020 now turns to Tribes Church with Cody and Chantel. Here is an opportunity for you to get in on the ground floor of a kingdom investment. Follow Tribes with Cody at tribesaustralia.com. Keep up with their podcast, pray for their progress, and invest in this startup venture. TribesAustralia.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Well, and the question, I was actually right initially. Lobos lost to San Diego State lost to UNLV. And that's the only loss they have. 27-1, best record in the country, ranked number 5 in the AP Top 25. So we're all going to root, those of us in the Mountain West, we're going to all root for San Diego State. Hope they really represent us well. And I'm looking, it's optimistic for the future. We have a lot of young players. Of course, we've already mentioned Steve Alford and what he's going to build over at Nevada. And of course, he did a great job here along with Craig Neal, and they're a good team. So let's get back to investing, Brian. We talked a little bit about, you know, some fundamentals. Give us some biblical principles, if you would, that kind of guide and direct things as you go forward.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit a minute ago about you have to remove the fear. You have to be an investor, you have to be an optimist. You have to be positive because you have to believe that tomorrow will be better than today, and that'll be reflected in your investments. And God certainly speaks to fear in his word. I mean, and it's always fear not. Do not fear. And the verse that came to mind, you know, in this market turmoil is in Matthew. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And when we're worried, you're usually not worried about what's going to happen this minute, but we're using our human brain of storytelling to go out and look to the future, and we're projecting out a really bad possible path forward. And as I look at, you know, comments on articles I'm reading, I mean, there's some people who are really afraid right now and acting accordingly, whether with their investments or otherwise. So that's a big one. Just to take that fear out of the equation is so important. And God doesn't want us to live in fear. That's not supposed to be part of our identity. But for some reason, when it comes to money, it seems to me that Christians are almost more often fearful than non-believers. And I think that's a shame, because that's counter to what we're supposed to be and the witness we're supposed to be in our communities.
Brian, what do you think about the folks that are almost like survivalists in their position? They've gone out and they've put together stores of water and food and all those kind of things. I actually kind of think it's kind of cool to have, you know, several weeks, but some people are out there stowing away cans for, you know, a year or more.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that a lot of people are doing is you've talked about having reserves, but they're going and buying gold bullion or silver, and they're storing it in safe deposit boxes, or worse, they're just putting it in a hidden place in their house, which really sounds scary to me.
Yeah. You know, as an American, we're very independent minded. So the idea of the survivalist mentality, I think, is kind of an American thing. You know, I'm going to stand on my own. I don't need anybody else. I'm going to have my water, my food. I'm just going to take care of myself. I think that's an American attitude. So yeah, I'm not necessarily against that. I don't think that's necessarily a required response to what we're experiencing right now. You know, I think I saw someone comment the other day that he's glad he lives in California, but because of the earthquake concerns, they always have water and food stored up because they don't know what infrastructure concerns could come up in the future. I thought that was interesting. So I'm not necessarily against that. On the financial side, this idea that I'm going to stock up a bunch of gold and that's going to serve me well, I've always been a little bit confused by that to an extent. You can sometimes get lucky and make money by, you know, trading gold. I'm going to buy it now and time it so it'll be more when I sell it. Interestingly enough, gold has not spiked up a lot during this downturn. Treasury bonds have spiked up and interest rates have come down, which is a relationship, you know, that is really common during a time of fear like this. But gold has not responded in the way you'd think as a, you know, quote unquote fear metal that it's often talked about as. So that's been an interesting one. I always just wonder, you know, for that doomsday person, what are you going to do with that gold? You know, how's that going to work in your favor? You know, if all of society shuts down, you know, I think we've joked about this in the past. I'd rather have lead. You know, I'd rather have bullets.
Yeah, there you go.
I can get your gold pretty quick. But I think overall, you know, that's all expressing this fear. You know, being prepared, you know, for possibilities, is there's nothing wrong with that. But are you really living and stepping out in fear, or are you stepping out with confidence that God's going to take care of your needs as he's promised? You know, that's a whole different story there.
Brian, I think a lot of people do that in regard to everything with their faith. They have these internal conversations, which, in my opinion, can only come from the enemy, where they're talking themselves out of everything that they really believe, and they're second-guessing. And again, maybe that's fear. Maybe it's just a spirit of questioning. And at some point, you just have to stand your ground. You have people surrounding you the way Christianity is. We're in fellowship with one another. John Moore Associates is following biblical principles. That's one of the stalwarts of your company. Again, I want to remind everybody, you can go to johnmoore.com and take advantage of a lot of nice free information about them and how they do things. And How do they get in touch with you, Brian, if they want to talk with you?
There's a contact us page on the website. Okay. And if you put an inquiry there, we're pretty responsive, get back to that really quickly. But I think that's one of the things we try to help. Not all of our clients are believers, but when they are, we try to just be a guide and a coach to help empower them to live out their faith, because it's so easy in today's world to go to church on Sundays and hear an inspiring message and then live out a whole different path when it comes to all aspects of our lives. But we think, especially with our finances, there's so many believers who, for some reason, just don't see that their finances matter that much in God's view. And really, there's over 2,000 verses in the Bible that deal with money and material things. God cares very much about not just how we use money, but how we feel about money. What's our relationship with money? Is money really the source of our contentment and our joy and our safety? You know, in a time like this, when some of your money may have gone down in value very quickly here, as some of your investments have dropped, it's kind of a gut check for a believer, I think, of, you know, where am I placing my faith and my security?
Well, and along those lines, we're going to shift gears from kind of the drastic selling issue when the market drops and the market corrects and people get scared about that. We're going to shift from that to the subject of taxes. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in a political season where I try to mention to everybody that all 112 representatives of the House and Senate in the state of New Mexico are up for re-election in this November. And of course, everybody knows about the presidential election coming up. We're watching these Democratic debates, and we're watching our president say various things, and it all just seems very confusing. But I want people locally to get informed. I've mentioned a few websites. You can go to Rio Grande Foundation. Mm-hmm. And you can go to Viante, and you can go to their websites, all kinds of free information. Find out how the incumbent representatives of our state are voting on various issues. What kinds of things are they sponsoring? Are they pro-life? Are they, you know, what are they in whatever position they take on all kinds of issues? Do they want gun control? Are they against it? Are they for Second Amendment rights? Are they for... do they stand up in the Freedom Index? That's one of the things mm-hmm. that Rio Grande Foundation and Paul Gessing has shown us, is Freedom Index. They are all about less government, more freedom, autonomy of people, private enterprise, et cetera. And so you may not agree with all those positions, and I'm not trying to say necessarily that all those positions are biblical or not, but I want people to get informed. And here's the most important thing. If it's true, I heard our former Congressman Steve Pierce say this a couple days ago over at Legacy Church where he was speaking. He said that only 50% of Christians are registered to vote. And when it comes time to vote, only 25% of them actually vote. We've got to get 90 or 95. I'd say 100%, but I know that's kind of unrealistic. We need 90% of eligible voters to register to vote. And then we need to get 80% of them out to vote, and our whole state would change mm-hmm. in a snap of a finger. That's how easy this is. This isn't a stressful thing. This is, instead of watching TV, binge watching a Netflix show, let's take off two of the four shows that you're going to watch tonight and spend an hour on these websites just reading about New Mexico politics. And that's going to bleed right over into the dovetail it has at the federal level, too. You're going to find out a lot about that, too. So yep. Didn't mean to diverge to politics, but Brian, talk up to me about taxes a little bit.
Well, a lot of people are thinking taxes. They're getting their W-2s and their 1099s, and they're putting together their 1040s, and they're getting ready to file. Mm. And so for most Americans, you know, I see taxes all the time. We review tax returns of our clients and of prospective clients. It's a great snapshot of their finances. So I'm used to seeing it every day, but it's incredible to me how illiterate the American public is on taxes. Mm. You know, most people don't know the difference between a refund, you know, and filing their return. And they don't realize that a refund is not a gift from the government. It's giving them back their own money that the government just borrowed at 0%
Brian,
interest.
Brian, I have a doctor that was a former client that was making $300,000+ a year. And he actually said to me, I have not paid taxes in 10 years, I get a refund every year. And I thought, like, I'd showed him on the tax return, you're getting a refund of the overage that you've loaned yep. to the government for a year. Wow, crazy. Brian Cochran, John Moore and Associates in studio. We're going to be back to talk more about taxes and maybe sheltering some of your investments and things from those taxes. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
If you're currently paying a monthly electric bill, you already have the means to switch to solar. Local and employee-owned and operated New Mexico Solar Group, an authorized SunPower dealer, provides a free consultation explaining the advantages of solar power. Financing available, no down payment required. It's easy to harvest power from the sun and stop overpaying for electricity. Call New Mexico Solar Group at 505-357-1198. Online at nmsolargroup.com. That's nmsolargroup.com.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Here's Rob West with today's MoneyWise Minute.
Tomorrow is Leap Day, the day added to the calendar every 4 years to compensate for the fact that the regular yearly calendar doesn't quite match the solar cycle. Without an adjustment, the calendar would get way off. Adjustments are needed in financial management, too. You have to tweak your budget from time to time when it and the real world start to diverge. For example, you may have to cut back in some areas to compensate for unexpected expenses in others. Making necessary adjustments in light of the reality on the ground is part of being a good financial manager. If your budget and the real world start to part ways, do what the makers of the calendar did. Find a fix that works and keep pressing on day after day.
And you can learn more about trusting God with your finances and find some tools that'll help when you visit moneywise.org. That's moneywise.org.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
This is Jim Williams with ABQ Connect. I'm in studio with Brian Cochran. He's an old basketball guy. He's actually a young basketball guy. I'm an old basketball guy. But we love talking about it. In fact, I intended, Brian, to talk a little bit about the NCAA tournament just for fun, and we spent a whole segment on it. So I hope people that wanted to know all about money don't feel shortchanged. But hey, let me ask you some biblical principles about paying taxes.
Yeah, I think the most common verse people know is render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Give back to the government what is the government's. But there's another verse in Romans that I like that reminds us that the authorities that are placed are considered God's servants. It says, this is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. And what's interesting there, there's a little twist there at the end where taxes, we've talked about debt in the past, taxes are treated almost like debt. You know, and that's certainly the way the IRS looks at it when they're chasing you down for any back taxes, is you're not supposed to owe anybody anything. So you're supposed to pay your debts. It's not bad to initially have a debt, but you need to pay it back. Mm-hmm. And so there's definitely a call that we should pay, you know, we're expected to pay taxes. It's part of the function, you know, in this world. And I certainly want to make sure all my clients pay taxes, because I feel like if they go to jail for not paying their taxes, they will no longer be a client. So, so one of the key things that I try to remind myself, because I have a tax bill every year, I see how much I pay, and we're paying taxes as a business. I mean, if you've ever been a small business owner, you appreciate taxes a little bit more, because you're paying half of the Social Security taxes for your employees. You're paying all kinds of fees, and there's just a lot that adds up when you're in a business. But what I always have to remind myself is that taxes are symptomatic of God's provision. Mm. Okay. Taxes are symptomatic of God's provision. So for those of you who are writing big checks between now and April, that's just what you have to tell yourself as you're writing that check, U.S. Treasury, X number of dollars. Just tell yourself that and say that prayer. Thank you, God, for your provision so that I can pay these taxes, because 44% of Americans the last couple of years have not paid taxes. And some people get mad about that, but you don't want to be in that 44%. These are oftentimes elderly people who are living on minimal means. And, you know, it's a blessing to have enough income to pay taxes. And, you know, if you really appreciate where you live here in the United States, which you darn well should, you know, it's a privilege, and it's, again, symptomatic of God's promise to provide for you.
Brian, we have this tax plan now that seems high to people that can't pay it. Mm-hmm. People that are very wealthy want to keep it low, so they have different perspectives on that. But it seems like the process has become outdated, especially with technology. Do you ever hear about different ideas how taxes could be paid and collected so that they'd kind of be collected in real time as opposed to the end of the year? And then a lot of people wouldn't be in a position to loan the government $4,000 or $5,000, which they plead to get back at the end of the year.
That's one thing we work with some clients is how can we simplify your tax world? So we have some clients that pay quarterly estimated taxes and we find out ways to do withholding so they don't have to do that process. Or we have some clients that have big tax bills that they are really uncomfortable writing, so we take care of that for them as a service. But I think that's the biggest thing. It's just like you're saving and you're giving. Try to make it as automatic as possible. So anything you can do through withholdings as you receive income, I think simplifies the process. I do think we still have opportunities to simplify our tax code, certainly at the state level, but also federal, just to make it easier for families. One thing that came out of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the Trump tax cuts, quote unquote, was that the itemized deduction level went up significantly. The standard deduction, went up significantly. So you have to have a lot more deductions to itemize. We went from about 30% of American households itemizing down to about 10%. Wow. So that was one simplification of the tax code. Some people poo-pooed that. They said, I'd like to get my deductions. In the end, it actually made it a lot easier for a lot of families to file because they didn't have to bring all those receipts for their property taxes and their giving. All of that was taken away from, 20% of the households just got a lot easier to return. And maybe now they can file on TurboTax or for free versus paying a tax preparer to help them out.
Does John Moore Associates have a way to help us reduce our tax burden as part of our investment plan?
There are some good ways to do that. It's different for every family, so I don't want to be too general here, but just some big picture concepts. The first we always teach is to be wise about your giving. So a lot of our clients are generous and they give very generously and consistently. So we look at the smartest ways to give. So a lot of our clients might be giving with just checks when also they could be giving out of assets. So rather than write a check, we might encourage them to give away appreciated assets like stocks or real estate, and that can create extra tax savings. Taking advantage of retirement plan offerings, a lot of people can put money in an IRA, a 401k, a 403b, different tools that you're really just paying yourself for later, but the IRS or really the government's giving you a tax break on that to encourage you to save for retirement. So a lot of people miss those opportunities. We've stepped out of a lot of the 401k plan administration, but used to do a lot of that work. And even with a match from their employer and a tax deduction, and saving for their future, all those incentives, people would not save in their 401k, even 3% of their income to get a match. So it's an easy way to leave money on the table, both from a tax savings and an employee match perspective. So we encourage those things. And then there's some investment strategies, tax loss harvesting, things we can do within investment strategies that help to minimize how much capital gains we're realizing for clients year by year.
Well, I want to make sure everybody knows if you have questions, maybe not even today, but in future meetings where Brian is on the program with us, you can email me at jim@abqconnect.online. You can always give us a call while Brian's here at 505-338-5790. Love to get your emails. Love to get any questions that Brian can answer for you answered. And if he doesn't know the answer, he's the kind of guy that's going to go find that out. Brian, tell us about your team a little bit because you kind of have a specialty. I know you do a really good job with actually meeting with people and explaining things, but you've got a lot of other people on your team that provide specialties. How does that work?
Yeah, I love our team. We have a wonderful group. So there's 9 of us in total, 3 in Arizona and 6 here in New Mexico. And some of them have different specialties. So we have some team members that work a lot with trusts, some with retirement plans. Some of them are mostly on the client service side, so they're really just taking care of the day-to-day needs for the clients while our advisors work on the big picture plan and helping clients cast a vision for the future. So you put it all together and we work as an ensemble. So many advisor firms are very siloed. So I would only have my clients that I serve and another advisor in my team might only serve his group of clients. The way we work is all of our clients are clients of the practice, so they get access to all of our expertise. It allows us to specialize and to serve clients in different capacities. And it seems to work really well for us, and clients seem to appreciate that.
Give us some of the data that you've brought with you. Talk about who pays what taxes here in the United States in terms of income levels and so forth.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting topic right now because of the political environment. There's a lot of people complaining about the rich paying their fair share of taxes. And to me, that's an interesting concept where I think, again, people don't quite understand how this all shakes out. So if you look at the actual tax brackets and you look at the percentiles, you know, the top 1% of people make 20% of the income in the United States. I mean, that's staggering.
Okay. Yeah,
there is certainly a concentration of wealth and income, but they also pay 24% of the taxes.
Mm.
So if you take the top 5% altogether, they're paying about 40% of the income tax burden for the whole country.
Mm.
Okay. So I don't know what their fair share is. That's certainly a matter of opinion, but I think most people don't realize that that much is already being paid. And there is a curve where you get to a certain point, if you raise taxes too high, you actually start to receive less tax revenue because you disincentivize certain behaviors and you start to lose revenue. So that's a big one. And comparatively, the bottom 40%, if you look at all taxes paid across the board, not just income tax, they pay about 7% of the income tax burden. So there's definitely a progressive tax system where the wealthier pay more. We actually have one of the most, if not the most progressive tax structures in the world, when it comes to who pays how much. So we're already taxing the wealthy at a pretty high level. That doesn't mean there's not potential to tax them more if you really wanted to, but I think a lot of people don't realize that. And the other misconception I see is that, oh, the Trump tax cuts saved, you know, the wealthy a ton of money and the poor are picking up the bill. So if you look at the total tax burden, the wealthy have been paying about 24.5% of the tax burden prior to the tax cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And that number went down by 0.3%. So the wealthy are paying 0.3% less of the total tax burden than they were prior to the tax cuts. So it's not like they received some massive windfall. Again, you can have different feelings on that, but those are the numbers. And I think that's an interesting concept as we're talking about possibly adding a lot more tax for people of certain incomes.
You know, I could write a short story and, or I could write a news report about something and people could differ with me on my observation of the facts. But when it comes to math, those are pretty much what they are. It's pretty hard to argue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that I've heard somebody say that in any public speaking situation, 33.5% of all the statistics are made up on the spot. But these are not made up statistics. These are factual data that's out there. So when you look at the Democratic debates, for example, I'm always fascinated with millionaire Bernie Sanders getting on the other millionaires, particularly Michael Bloomberg and some of the other, and he's always on Trump, obviously, about how these millionaires are, you know, living high on the hog while everybody else is struggling. Well, is he not in that same category?
Yeah. And the challenge for me with that is, again, that's everyone can have their own opinion on these factors and you can decide what's rich. I think for most people, the wealthy, quote unquote, that you want to tax always happen to be one level above where you are. But the key thing I think that people don't understand is if you look at other countries that have the type of social systems that are being proposed by some of these candidates, it's not just the millionaires and billionaires paying the taxes. You have to tax the middle class. It's impossible to get the revenues they need to even get close to paying these programs without, you know, that 44% we talked about that doesn't pay an income tax right now, all of them will face some level of higher tax. It's impossible to get the revenue just from the top 2% of income earners.
Brian, do you have any data about our tax structure compared to other countries?
Yeah, so overall, we have a much lower tax burden than many developed countries. So this is often measured as a percentage of GDP, so a percentage of the overall size of your economy.
Mm-hmm.
So the U.S., we pay about 24.5% of our overall GDP goes toward taxes. And that's all, that's state, local, you know, your property taxes, all of that. If you compare that to Germany, Germany has 38% of their GDP goes towards taxes. In France, it goes up to 46%. So, you know, there's definitely some upside here. Now, we don't have all the big social programs those other countries have. So we're on a different program altogether. We have a lot more independence in how we use our resources and different healthcare systems, all of that. But overall, as much as people don't like to pay taxes and complain about it, we're taxed a lot less than many developed countries.
Where do you recommend people go to find out information about just what's going on in the markets, what people... You know, there's a lot of markets now. I mean, it used to be the Dow and the NASDAQ, and now you have world markets all over the place. I don't know much about all of the markets that are outside the country, but are they all being affected pretty much the same way?
Yeah, everybody's feeling the pain that we're feeling in our markets. China was hit first because that's where the virus and those issues started. So their market was hit pretty quickly and dropped pretty dramatically. They took a bunch of measures to slow it down by closing the markets or, at one point, I think China was just straight up printing money and buying stocks. I mean, they really wanted to support their market, and they're doing different stimulus now to try to support the companies and the industries that are most affected. But it's definitely coming to our shores now, as we've seen in the last week or so.
Now, do a lot of Americans go and invest money in Chinese stocks?
Yeah, you can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It depends on your risk tolerance. That's part of the emerging market basket of investments when you go into China. And there's traditionally a lot more volatility and uncertainty there because you add layers of political uncertainty that, believe it or not, is higher than the political uncertainty that we face here. So it's something that, some people can participate in very directly.
Mm-hmm. Brian, where should people go today? I mean, you're sitting on a portfolio that may have lost a little bit of value over the last 4 or 5 days. Kind of what are your recommendations?
So one of the biggest things is just not to take any rash actions. Don't make any quick decisions based on fear. So the easiest thing to do is to hold. Some people, if they have a lot of cash on the sidelines, we've started with some of our clients finding opportunities for people of the right risk tolerance, the right time horizon. We're actually looking at trying to place money into the markets right now, not because we think it's the bottom. We don't think that's our job to pick the bottom, but because it's a lot cheaper than it was recently. And we've now fallen below the long-term average in the market, which we traditionally consider a good time to be a buyer rather than a seller. If you don't have direction on investments, if you don't have a specific intentional strategy, it's never too late to get one. I saw a lot of commentary online on social media leading up to this when the markets were still at their all-time highs of young people bragging about how much money they'd made in Tesla and how much money they'd made in this stock and that stock. And some of those stocks are down 30-40% now, so yeah. They're learning the other side. So a lack of process can hurt, and some of these key principles like diversification and rebalancing, things that we teach every day, are not present for everybody. So taking a step back and understand, do I really have a process going forward? Am I taking more risks than I should? Those are good questions to ask.
And you all have expertise in bond markets and mm-hmm. stock market, and what other kind of markets are out there right now for investors?
Yeah, so I think, we talked a little bit before about the importance of an emergency reserve. If you have that, it sure makes it a lot easier to ride out one of these periods, because that's money that should be safe and liquid. So if you need something, you can go there rather than sell an investment that might have declined in value. But we traditionally rely on, basic stock and bond markets. Bonds are doing their job right now. When stocks go down, we rely on our bonds to be inversely correlated, meaning when stocks go down, bonds go up, and they're doing that. They're working. So they're helping cushion portfolios. And for clients who need money, one of the best things they do is they give us a smart place to take money right now. Mm. Stocks may not be the smart place to take money if you need something, but if we have a bond sleeve or bond portion of a portfolio, that may not be a bad place to dig into now that it's risen in value, and we can spend that money rather than stocks.
How about people right now that are seeing the low interest rates because of the increase in bond prices? Yeah. The yield's lower, so the interest rates are lower. And they're thinking about, maybe I should go pull some cash out of my house. What do you say to them?
Yeah, I mean, there's always opportunity in periods like this. So one opportunity is to buy stocks lower. The other is possibly refinancing your home, or it's dropped the interest rates quite a bit. So you might be able to get a 30-year mortgage now for less than 3.5%, which is a pretty incredible thing. Mm-hmm. You've got that history in the mortgage market. Mm-hmm. You know how unique that opportunity is. I wouldn't take this opportunity to pile on new debt and draw equity out and go spend it. But if you have a mortgage that's maybe above 4-4.5%, you should definitely be considering engaging with some type of a mortgage professional so that you can, a lender, so that you can see if it makes sense for you to refinance and lower the interest rate on that.
And I always say, try to lower the rate, but keep the term the same or shorten the term.
Exactly. Don't stretch your debt out further. That's not going to help you in the long run.
That's right. John Moore and Associates, Brian Cochran. He's a certified financial planner. Brian, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.